The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Texas. And I want to start the program today by talking to someone we've had on the program before, Reverend Bill Cook. He's the founder and CEO of America's Black Robe Regiment. Bill Cook, tell my audience, first of all, welcome. Tell my audience what that is.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be with you. The Black Robe Regiment is the name that the British affixed to the American clergy during the American founding era. Because they blamed the clergy. The clergy wore black robes. It was a derisive reference to the black robes that they wore. And they blamed the clergy for what they called the rebellion, which we call the War for Independence.
Now, hang on, Bill. I don't remember this part, that it was the British that gave our side the name, the Black Robe Regiment. In other words, they were the ones to say that it's the pastors in the pulpits in the 13 colonies that are trouble, and so they call them the Black Robe Regiment. I did not know that it was a term of derision that we kind of flipped to our advantage. That's I just learned that. Thank you.
Right, it was, and actually, the British used the term Black Regiment. They didn't use the term Black Robe Regiment, but it was definitely a reference to robes. And one parliamentarian said at one point when they discussing their cousin America's run off with the Presbyterian parson, speaking with John Witherspoon.
It's a little hard to hear you. I just want to make sure everybody's tracking. Now, the reason I'm having you on today is because on July 8th in Virginia Beach, there is something called Gideon's 300 Liberty Congress, which is part of the Reawaken America tour. Talk about this. So many people that I know are going to be at this. I will not be at this, but lots of folks of whom I'm fond will be there. So what is the Reawaken America tour in Virginia Beach, and how does Gideon's 300 Liberty Congress relate to that?
Well, it's exactly what it says, reawakening. The goal is to reawaken America. And over the last year, 13 months, these conferences have been going on all over the country. Millions of people have attended. And it's transition in the leadership of it.
All right. We had some quality control audio issues. I think we just fixed them. So Reverend Bill Cook, the founder and CEO of America's Black Robe Regiment, keep telling us what you were telling us just a moment ago, because this is exciting.
Well, basically, the organizers of this conference came to me a few weeks ago and said, we believe pastors are the last line of defense in America. And they really need to step up and play a leadership role in this country. And so I was tasked to get at least 300 pastors to come to the conference down in Virginia Beach and to do a pastor summit down there. And 300 was the number I chose as a starting point because, you know, the reason it's called Gideon's 300 is because 300 and Gideon go together. And it's not going to be a majority of pastors in America that take a stand, that stand up and do what's right. But it's probably going to be a relative remnant or minority that actually has the courage to do what needs to be done in the days ahead. And so we're going to bring them in, encourage them, challenge them, and in many ways kind of read them the riot act.
Well, now, if pastors want to come to this, how do they find out about this? Because I'm realizing that many people are probably hearing about it right now for the first time, and maybe they would like to be in Virginia Beach on the 8th and 9th of July. So where can people go?
Well, first of all, pastors are getting in. Their tickets are only costing name your own price. So pastors are getting in for a song. And it's because we want them to come. We don't want money to stop them from coming. And so the way that they get tickets is they go to thrivetimeshow.com and click on the request tickets button at the top right of the screen that comes up. Enter their information. Make sure they mention in their information, along with their name, that they're a reverend, that they want to come to Gideon's 300, and someone from the team, Clay's team, will call them post-haste.
Okay, nobody heard that, so I'm going to repeat it. ThriveTimeShow.com. ThriveTimeShow.com. What is ThriveTimeShow.com? What is that?
It's an organization that Clay Clark started. They have Thrive Time Show is essentially a podcast that happens every day that Clay Clark leads.
Okay, that's how I know it is through Clay Clark. And of course, Clay Clark is the guy who puts together these Reawaken America events. General Flynn will be there. It looks like all kinds of people will be there. I don't have a list, but I'm looking at the picture. Lots of people of whom I'm very fond will be at this event. And this is July 8th and 9th. When is your part of the event happening?
My part of the event will happen from 11 to 3 p.m. on Friday,
on the 8th. And Dave Scarlett and Amanda Grace, my friend Amanda Grace, is going to be there. I'm so sorry I cannot be there. This is what happens. I read about this and I think, man, I wish I could be there. But I don't believe I can be there. I'm going to look into it as soon as I get off the air. But I don't think that I can. There's a whole other... I should mention a few of these folks that are going to be at your event. Obviously, you, Reverend Bill Cook, but Bill Federer, boy, there's an American hero. Bill Federer, General Jerry Boykin will be there. I mentioned General Michael Flynn, Eric Trump, no relation to the president, Pastor Jim Garlow. Lots of people. Look at this. This is terrific. But this is part of the Reawaken America Tour in Virginia Beach, July 8th and 9th. And if pastors want to go to this part of it, which is in the middle of the day on Friday the 8th, they need to go to ThriveTimeShow.com, ThriveTimeShow.com. You probably don't know this, Bill, but I've written a book. It's not coming out till the fall. But when you talk about what you just said, I wrote a book called Letter to the American Church. It's a short book. But it deals with what we're talking about right now. The idea that we, in the past, have had a very engaged clergy that understood that issues of liberty are central. We have to speak up. We have to have courage. And some bad ideas have come into the church, which is why folks like you are raised up by God to combat these bad ideas.
I agree with that. And until the truth is what liberty rides on the truth. The civil society is founded on the truth. And when truth begins to be eroded or evaporate, the society just begins to disintegrate. And that's what we've seen happening every day in America in recent years. So, you know, the other thing they can do is if they want to come to this event, this is going to be a seminal event. And if they come, they'd like to come, they can also call me. I'll give out my cell phone number, 703-986-8096. And I'll make sure that pastors get a ticket.
So you're giving out your cell phone number on the air on a national radio station. Okay, it's 703-986-8096. Sorry, say it again.
986-8096. 703-986-8096.
Please repeat it again from the beginning. 703-986-8096. Okay, that is your cell phone number in case people want to reach you. ThriveTimeShow.com is another way to reach you. This is July 8th, and then the whole Reawaken America tour is going to be on the 8th and 9th in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm really sorry that I can't go. I'm glad you're going to be there. And I just hope, if we have you on the program, that there are a number of pastors who may be able to go and be there at this event. We may have lost the connection with our brother, but it doesn't matter because the information, we've already gotten out the information. Folks, if you want to go, remember ThriveTimeShow.com. You can click on that. It is the Reawaken America Tour, Virginia Beach, Virginia, July 8th and 9th. I wish I could go. I'm gonna see if I can go to this. I hope I can go. Anyway, God bless you. We'll be back with lots more. Don't go away. Sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades. Improve your memory with award-winning Vivalore Memory Support. Vivalore's founder prayed God would show her the solution to memory loss when her mom was devastated by dementia. Divine encounters, faith, and her background as a pharmacist led Susan Gibson to create Vivalore Memory Support. Vivalore is a premium quality supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplements. Vivalore has won numerous awards, and a customer independently wrote 3 books about it. Visit Vivalore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements. Vivalore has helped those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss, and it can help you. Vivalore has many brain-fortifying nutrients to help focus and memory. Don't wait until your memory slips. Invest in your memory now. Vivalore is Vivolor. Get 30% off with code ERIC. Memories are real treasures. Keep yours. Help us pray for miraculous healings that give God glory. Vivalore.com, Vivolor.com, and use code ERIC. Vivalore.com, use the code ERIC. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say.
Folks, welcome back. You may remember a year ago, I was in Kansas City and I got to spend some time with some friends and make some new friends. Among the new friends is a guy I like to call Francis Chan. Lucky for him, his name is actually Francis Chan, and he's my guest. Francis, welcome.
Hey, Eric, good to be with you again.
I was with you in San Diego at a private event, extremely private. Yes. In fact, we can't even mention it. But I got to hear you talk about your new book on unity, and I thought, yeah, you know, it would be fun to talk to you about that on my program. And by the way, this is my program.
Nice.
Yeah. So I know you're home and you're tell my audience, if you would. I mean, a lot of people know you. You're probably best known for your book Crazy Love, which is so short that I can't take it seriously. And you and I tease each other. That's my love language.
Yes.
We tease our friends,
yes,
right?
I know.
We tease
I
each
know.
Other, but but you're well known for that book. But the new book, it's a very interesting topic, and I want to talk to you anyway. But so when I saw you the other day, I thought we should get you on the program to talk about the new book. So what's the title of the new book?
The new book is Until Unity. It's taken out of Ephesians 4, talking about how we're, as leaders, supposed to help equip people until they come to this unity of the faith. So that's where I got that thought, until unity, like we're supposed to be working towards this.
Right. And you spoke very eloquently on the subject, as you always do, and very movingly. I guess, is it just the fact that things seem to be particularly divided now in the church that led you to write this? In other words, what was it that?
Yeah, no, it really was studying the Word of God You know, I went to a very conservative seminary where we were really just kind of bashing everyone else except for us. Like, we were the only ones that had right theology. And the last few years that I've been studying the scriptures, I'm going, man, God is very serious about oneness. And I have said some things about his children. Like, I've talked about his daughters, his sons, and I have to face him. You know, I've said some things that were inappropriate. I joked about them, and I just got so convicted, and I started apologizing to people. I started getting things right, and then I thought, I've got to write on this. After a while, you realize, wow, what incredible timing, as, like you mentioned, everyone is fighting now. Everyone is getting divided, and I believe it's breaking the heart of God. It's grieving the Holy Spirit of God.
And obviously, it's a tricky thing because, I mean, there are times that we need to be divided in the sense where we need to say, no, that's wrong, that's bad, that's misleading people, please stop. You know, like, there's a place for that. But then there's also a place for unity and love and grace. And to me, this is a big issue for me because I see both sides of it. In other words, depending on what day or what issue, just the other day, might even been yesterday, I can't remember, but a friend of mine posted something bashing someone who I think is on TBN, somebody that I have enjoyed over the years as a heretic.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know what? I can understand maybe why that person is not your style. Like, you don't like their style.
Yeah.
But when you label them a heretic, I go, wait a minute. That's going really far. And who are these, you know, you always have these self-appointed guardians of the faith.
Yes.
And they act as though it's their duty to, quote unquote, call out heretics. And I just think I can really see both sides of this because I can see where there's a time for grace and a time to say, like, listen, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, yeah, I get how you don't groove on there or this or that or whatever, but come on, they're good people.
Yeah.
They love God. And you're being nitpicky and you're being sort of pharisaical and legalistic by coming after them like they're the devil. But then on the other side, sometimes people call for unity. And let's start here. Sometimes people call for unity and I say, listen, we're called to love everyone. We're called to love our enemies. But I'm not called to unity with people that are saying things that are dramatically or, to my mind, very clearly against, you know, what God teaches. So how do you figure out where that line is, or where's that line for you?
No, you're right, because there are people that will accuse you of caring about truth or not caring about holiness, you know, God's commands, if you pursue unity. And I'm going, no, actually, I'm pursuing unity because that is truth, and that is commanded over and over in Scripture. Now, there are times when we are called to divide. There are times, like Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And there is truth to those who would dare, like, belittle or try to alter the gospel itself, those salvific truths. Or there are times when the Bible is so clearly stating something as sin, and we can't tolerate that. If the Bible labels something as sin, we have to get serious about those things. But outside of that, there also needs to be this deep fear of God. Like, if the Holy Spirit is in you, Son of God, I've got to be careful. Even though, you know, you may say things that bother me, and you do, but I love you, and I look at you, you know, I've been telling people, I have to look at you like I look at the Virgin Mary. Like, okay, if she has the Creator in her womb, then I better be awfully careful how I speak to her. And that would be the same thing about you. If the Holy Spirit literally dwells in you, then I need to be careful how I approach you and not just quickly label you as something. There has to be some sort of fear there.
Well, that's the issue of loving our enemies. And even if somebody's an ideological enemy, they say something and I say, that is absolutely wrong. And I'm at war with that idea, but I'm called to love the person who is promoting this false idea. What does that mean? How do I love them? I think for a lot of people, Francis, and this is the, it's always the question for me, the many people in the evangelical world today have gone woke, or they've opened the door to wokeness. And we say wokeness, what do we mean? Mm-hmm. We mean critical race theory. We mean this kind of transgender madness. And you think, we've gone way beyond caring for the poor and whatever. We're embracing these Marxist, atheistic ideas that actually are harmful. They're going to hurt people. If you're commanded to love the poor, these ideas are going to harm the poor. And I often see it as a lack of courage on the part of evangelicals who they've kind of like imbibed this idea that we're supposed to be nice and we don't want to be controversial and stuff. And so it's kind of, we lurch between being nothing but controversial to being, you know, playing patty cake with evil ideas. And that to me is always the hard, that's where we are today. And so I think I do worry about a lot of the folks in the evangelical community who they say that if you argue about certain things, you're being divisive and you need to be about unity. Now, I don't think that's the kind of unity you're talking about, but how do you figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, that's there's a new issue every day, right? So to just kind of generalize and say, well, in this one or this one or this one, I mean, it's really about, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit himself, like God himself, if you are close enough to him, if you're really one with him, you know, you're deep in the scriptures, deep in your prayer life, like the Spirit himself will guide you into all truth. Now, there's the biblical truth. That's why we're all students of the word, that we study over and over and over. But at that moment, there are things that the Holy Spirit will show us how to prioritize, I guess is the best way to say it. Is it the most loving thing to attack every little, you know, nuance, or, you know, when is it time to draw the line? Okay, they went a little far on that. I mean, we're talking about conversation. We're talking about even right now. Am I saying too much? God, help me say the right words right now. Holy Spirit, help me say the things that are going to be most loving towards Eric, towards everyone who hears. What will bring them to a deeper understanding of you? And sometimes I think what believers do is we prioritize the wrong things. And so even though you may be right on that issue, you talk about it so much and with so much passion that suddenly the cross seems secondary rather than the holiness of God and his atoning death on the cross being primary in our conversation, in our passions.
That's a pretty good point. Have you thought about writing a book about this subject? If you do think about it, let me suggest the title Until Unity. Until Unity by Francis Chan. It has a ring to it. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to Francis Chan. Turns out he is the author of a book called Until Unity, which, of course, he just stole from me just right now. We'll be right back.
I'll give a little bit. Give a little bit of my life for you. So give a little bit.
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Francis Chan. He's written a new book called Until Unity. So, Francis, this is a huge idea. unity. And what you said when you spoke the other day in San Diego, I was very moved by it, because you're right that we're supposed to love our enemies. And when somebody says, I have Jesus living inside me, I'm a Christian, that's like a next level of where you just think, wow, this person, we may disagree, but I have to honor them and I have to talk to them in a way that takes that very seriously. But at what point, you know, because you have people now saying, Andy Stanley wrote a book recently that kind of says we shouldn't be political, right? So on the surface of it, I get that. But then I think to myself, it feels to me like a kind of false posturing, because you think, wait a minute, if I'm talking about truth, if I talk about the unborn, if I talk about slavery, if I talk about Nazis or fascists or you know, whatever, like I have an obligation to truth. To speak on that. But there's some people that it's almost like they just have a dislike of that tension. And so they say, let's just talk about the gospel, as though you could talk about the gospel, but avoid some of those issues. So that's where I can't take them seriously. I feel like they're missing something big.
Yeah. Well, you know, I recently read this book called Bonhoeffer, and powerful book. I suggest it. And it, when you think about his life, how do you ignore human life? Like, I mean, that is the gospel. And so I hear what they're saying, though, because, again, like I said earlier, there's things that we can get caught up in. And we're talking about eternity. I mean, we're talking about a person possibly spending eternity in torment apart from God, or spending eternity forever, not these few years that you and I have left on the earth. We're talking about forever and ever in the presence of God in perfection, you know, for thousands, tens of thousands, millions of years. And that's huge. There's nothing bigger than that. We're talking about believing in a God who we can't even look at or we would die, and him sending his son to die on a cross and suffer on a cross so that we can be forgiven and spend eternity with him in perfect fellowship. And so that needs to be so high above every issue, like every issue. But in honoring him, there are certain things that he says I absolutely hate. And one of the signs of a believer is our hearts break for the things that break his heart. And that's why I wrote about unity. The Bible says it grieves the Holy Spirit of God, our disunity. So I go, wow.
That's a huge point. You said it earlier, but I wanna go back to it, or at least underscore it, that what you're saying is that God commands unity. Now, there's 100 ways to parse that, to interpret it, but the point is that we can't act like it's a non-issue. For God, unity is a big issue. So we need to take it seriously. Even if we can disagree on it, we need to understand God takes it very, very seriously. And I think I was saying earlier that there are often these, they seem to be self-appointed arbiters of theological correctness. And they trouble me, because there seems to be a Pharisaical spirit. They're very, very, what I say sometimes is that they seem to be worshiping an idol of theological correctness instead of Jesus. And they get so obsessed with certain things. I mean, even people that I like, John MacArthur says that he has said publicly that, you know, the Roman Catholic Church is a satanic cult, blah, 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 blah. Or if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you believe in tongues and in those kinds of manifestations, which I certainly do, or Mike Bickle does, or so many people do, that is demonic. And so I want to say to somebody like John MacArthur, like, you may think that, but I think you're wrong. But I'm not calling you a heretic for saying that, but you're effectively calling us heretics for believing what we believe. And so it's a tricky thing. There's some people for whom theological purity is everything, and that troubles me.
Yeah, I mean, I actually graduated from his seminary, so I am very grateful to John and for this stance on truth, because like you talked about earlier, there are people that lack courage. John has no problem in that area. He'll say whatever he's thinking.
Well, I like him and respect him gigantically. I want to be very clear about that. But I'm just saying on that issue, on those two sides of things, I just go, whoa, I think you're mistaken, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I mean, I've been labeled a heretic by him, and I love him, though, and I'm so grateful for people like that, because we need people to toe the line on truth and say it as it is. Now, there's been a grace in my life where I've gotten to know people who are Roman Catholic that have a deep, deep love for Jesus, a deep understanding.
Even though, according to MacArthur, they're worshiping Satan.
Well, I don't know if I read that quote, but if you read it,
well,
yeah.
I'm just saying effectively, I mean, that's what he implies that pretty clearly, right? And that's when I just go,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know what world he's living in, you know. I'm clearly not a Catholic, but I'm a very, when somebody says something like that, I mean, I'm just kind of astonished that he doesn't even have any question about that.
Well, I mean, and he's one person, and you know, one opinion, you know, but there's a lot of people that follow him, just like people that follow us. And do I believe he's wrong about those things? Absolutely. Do I think he's wrong about me? I know he is. It's me. And, so there are times, though, like for me, I just believe God had grace on me and had me build relationships with some of the people I was told to stay away from.
Actually, Francis, forgive me. This is a huge point. We're going to be right back talking to Francis Chan. Folks, don't go away. Hey there, folks. Eric Metaxas here. As you know, our friend, and he's a real friend, Mike Lindell, has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. But he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now, Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. My Slippers, they're unbelievable. I know all about them, but I got to tell you, for a limited time, you will save $90 on each pair of My Slippers. They're expensive. You can save $90. This blowout sale of the year won't last. Order now. He's taken over 2 years to develop them. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and out all day long, made with My Pillow Foam and Impact Gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listeners square and use promo code ERIC. The offer will not last long, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-3057. 800-978-3057. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Francis Chan. That's right. Francis Chan. Here he is, my guest. Francis, you were just saying about God calling you to befriend people with whom you had some theological differences, which I think is beautiful. And it's probably why we're friends now. So talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it wasn't even like I tried. I would be speaking at these events. And like I remember the first time speaking at a Passion event. And suddenly the worship leader halfway through the event tells me he's Roman Catholic. And I was shocked. I'm like, what? And he looks at me, you know, his name's Matt Marr. He wrote the song, Your Grace is Enough. And he goes, kind of weird that a Roman Catholic wrote that, don't you think?
It's only weird if you think that they believe in works righteousness, which they don't, but you know.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was told. And so as I talked to him and befriend him, we actually even went to Rome together and he walked through the different misconceptions of things. And it was so helpful just walking through and realizing, man, this is a spirit-filled, godly man. And I thank God for the grace in my life that I got to meet someone like that, befriend someone like that. And now dozens others that I've gone to know that I would go, wow, their commitment to Christ, some of them, at least the ones I've met, that goes far from what I was told about them, you know?
Well, it's interesting. I remember, you know, when I first got saved in 88 and, you know, was moving in the kind of charismatic world. And then when I realized that there are people that I would say, oh, there's a born again believer, an evangelical believer, but they don't believe in any of that stuff. They don't believe in tongues or in any kind of miraculous stuff for healing, whatever. I was kind of astonished. I thought, like, well, that's part of the package. Why wouldn't you believe that? And so, again, to get back to our, you know, friend John MacArthur, that he would take such a strong stand against that. It just strikes me as odd. I mean, experientially, through the centuries, missionaries have experienced angelic stuff and miracles and whatever. And but some people seem to be very, I don't know, they seem to major in theology. So I don't think theology is unimportant, but they get very, very focused on little things like that.
Yeah. And I remember asking in class one time, like, what if there's a little old lady who goes in her closet and speaks in tongues? Like, do I have to confront her? And the answer was yes, because, you know, she could be filled with a demonic spirit. Anything that's not of the Holy Spirit, you know, is probably from the devil. And so, I don't take that stand now, but I did. I really believe that. But
I think the person who tells you to go into that woman's closet, that person might have the spirit of the devil, and I feel obliged to confront them.
Yeah, but it wasn't spoken in a spirit of cruelty.
Right.
It was really a belief like this is right, and we can't back down. We've got to glorify God in everything we do. Every truth matters, and we've got to confront anything that's evil. So
somebody who is a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or whatever, I would say theologically, I would say that that's not Christian, but they could be good people. They could be wonderful people, but I differ with them ideologically. And so within the body of Christ, where do we draw that line of unity? I mean, if somebody says in our church, we're going to perform same-sex weddings, it's hard for me to take them seriously. In other words, they may be good people, but theologically, I can't take that person seriously.
Yeah, that one's tough. I mean, on the doctrinal, as far as, they're denying that Jesus came in the flesh, or they're denying, the very foundation of what we believe to be the gospel, or they're denying like the holiness of God. I mean, if you're looking at the Mormons, I mean, we can become just like him. And that's a scary thing. Now it's hard to know, like, here's these people who believe that it's okay to be affirming. Can I call that person still a brother? I mean, technically, biblically, I don't see that precludes them, but, at the same time, it's very hard to partner with that because they are saying okay to something that the Bible is clearly saying is sinful. And I don't know, that's a hard thing to say in love.
But that's what I'm saying is these things, of course, they're hard to say. Of course, they're hard to say. And that's why the temptation is so strong not to say them. And believe me, I get that. I'm not looking to argue with people. I want to love everyone. I want everyone to love me. And there are times to bring things up and there are other times to keep our mouths shut and just to love people. But I think that the evangelical church has in some areas really opened the door. I mean, I think Zondervan or maybe it was, I forget the publisher now. It's not Baker. It's the other one. But they kind of had this Happy Pride Month thing or whatever. And I thought, what message are you, or maybe it was Erdman's, what message are you sending? It's deeply confusing and troubling to me that you feel the need to make peace with those people, but at the expense of what? I think it's deeply confusing to the average person in the pew. Yeah. They're looking for leadership, and they're getting very mixed signals. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's confusing, and it's also unloving at a certain point, because the thing is, we have to understand we are all going to stand before God. And that is such a heavy statement that I hate to even just move past that quickly. I mean, the thought of at one moment, you and I looking at this being who is going to blow our minds, everyone that's seen him in scripture just basically collapses, and knowing that he hates some of these things we do and we're going to answer for it. I mean, how do you not warn someone of that? And yet being cognizant of the way they were brought up and what they've been taught their whole lives.
Well, if anybody wants specifics on what we're talking about, you've written a book called Until Unity. Is it longer than Crazy Love?
It's a little bit shorter.
It's shorter.
Crazy Love, I just,
and I think I just those wrote. Books, 10 of those books would equal Bonhoeffer, which you made fun of the last time we were together.
Yes.
Look, we're out of time. It's probably a good thing because we like to tease each other. I love you, Francis Chan. I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for your time today. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Eric.
I think we right now have one of the most important announcements we've ever made on the 7 years of this show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Folks, are you listening?
Oh.
I hope you have a pencil.
Ooh.
According to my notes, listen carefully, mypillow.com, that's the website, use the code ERIC, right? Are you ready for the announcement? It says, the fur-lined slippers at mypillow.com are not discontinued.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
Whoa.
The fur-lined slippers at mypillow.com are not discontinued. Don't be fooled when people tell you they've been discontinued. I have a note here. It says they're not discontinued. Equally important, wide widths will arrive in the fall.
Oh, that's good. You know, I got the slippers just recently, and there was a little note that said, you just got the last pair. I guess
yeah.
That wasn't, no.
That's a lie.
Oh.
According to my notes here, if you go to mypillow.com, the fur-lined slippers. Now, this is faux fur, okay?
Yeah.
So faux animals were murdered and
no.
skinned, oh. and the faux fur was used for these slippers. So the faux fur slippers are not discontinued. You got to use the code ERIC, mypillow.com. Wide widths will arrive in the fall. Whether you like it or not, they're arriving in the fall. According to my notes, these slippers are finished with high-quality leather suede made from U.S. cowhides. Okay, no communist cattle was
no.
killed. These are all American cows.
American.
My slipper linings are soft and cozy faux fur. Okay, and then it says sizing recommendations with my slippers. You'll want to add a half to a full size to your normal shoe size. For example, if you wear an 8 or 8.5, 8.5, please choose a size 9. This is an important announcement. You go to mypillow.com, use the code ERIC. And also it says sizing recommendation with all season my slippers. You'll want to go down if your normal shoe is a half size. For example, if you wear 8.5, please choose a size 8. So this is very complicated.
I know.
If you want the fur-lined slippers, you want to go up. If you get the all-season slippers, you want to go down.
Yep.
We don't know why this is,
okay.
but we were told on pain of death, read these announcements on the air. When you go to mypillow.com, use the
right.
code ERIC, and be sure the faux fur-lined slippers, if you wear an 8 or an 8.5, you want to get a 9. The all-season slippers, if you wear an 8.5, you want to choose an 8. I know this is complicated, but we're going to be repeating this over in the weeks ahead.
And we haven't even gotten to the sandals yet, right?
The sandals have 3-tier cushioning system.
Whoa.
Imagine 3-tier wow. cushioning system.
If you
not just cushioning, it's a cushioning system.
And if you've got vertigo, be careful, folks.
3-tier cushioning system. It reduces the stress put on your feet and joints. And who's putting the stress? I don't know. It could be you, could be gravity, but the sandals reduce the stress, all day comfort. Not like the other slippers that they go 20 hours and then they're good for nothing. This is 24-hour comfort built with durable construction that will last, molded and formed to cradle and support the foot. And the foot is the very thing, think about it logically, that fits into the sandal. Great recovery foam, super fashionable, and you can wear them anywhere. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code ERIC. Hurry up. Hey, folks. Eric Metaxas here. I'm away from the studio this week, but I wanted to bring you an important announcement. The fight for the unborn, as you know, is raging in our country. An unprecedented leak from the Supreme Court indicates that Roe v. Wade is on the brink of being overturned.
The debates have never been stronger. During this critical time, a new movie is about to be released. The award-winning film, The Matter of Life, cuts through the rhetoric and hatred and exposes the real issues surrounding the plight of the unborn. The Matter of Life. Stream it at salemnow.com. It's been hailed as the best pro-life movie ever made. Stream it today at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. There's a battle taking place in America. Whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you need to see this film. Please stream it today at salemnow.com and have your own life transformed as you watch The Matter of Life.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.